mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. A victory today is mine. Oh, joy is mine. A joy is mine. I know today joy is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. I know that joy is mine. Somebody need to know victory is yours this morning. Somebody need to know that you are triumphant this morning. Somebody needs to know, lift up your eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh your help, for your help cometh from the Lord. Somebody needs to know that this morning, that you don't have to walk around in despair. You don't have to walk around being despondent. You don't have to walk around being depressed, oppressed, because victory is mine. Victory is mine. A victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. I know that joy is mine. Amen. 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 If you're just coming in, joining with us this morning, you see that we have already begun our praise and our worship to our Heavenly Father, because I want you to know today that victory is yours. You can walk and say that I am triumphant in God, even though trials come, tribulations come, problems may come. He told us that we were going to have trials. He told us we were going to have troubles. He told us we were going to have problems. But one thing else he told me was that even in the midst of it, Pastor Kuiper, that he would be with me. He said, I will be with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, Deborah. Over in Hebrews 13 and 5b. Oh, in Isaiah 43 and 2, he said, no matter what waters you go through, because he said you're going to go through them. He said that you're going to come out on the other side. You and I, we have the victory because we are in Christ Jesus. That's the only way we got victory in our situation. He may not change the situation. He may not change the circumstance. But one thing about it, I can testify this morning, he'll change me. He'll change me. And he'll give me joy. Not happiness, but he'll give me joy. See, joy that is not based on my situation or my circumstance, but joy is based on rather than or yet than my situation, yet than my circumstance, I still got joy, because my joy is connected to the true vine. And the true vine is Jesus Christ. And Pastor Kuiper, I have found hope in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus. I got an assurance that my hope is in Jesus. I don't have to wish for anything, because my hope is connected to the true vine, and the true vine has a Heavenly Father that provides for him, and he's providing for us this morning. Hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah. We want to welcome you to the gathering place beyond the walls, located here in Macon, Georgia. We are broadcasting this morning out of Atlanta, Georgia. We are here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we are coming to you. We pray that you can certainly hear us clearly. We did an early morning mic check, and that you can certainly hear us here. But I just want you to know, coming to this line, that you have victory, that you are triumphant, and that you can lift up your eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh your help. But knowing that your help comes from the Lord, you are the maker of heaven and earth. We're not going to hold you long this morning as we prepare to go into the word this morning. We want to open up with our scripture. We're going to ask Pastor Kuiper if he would come with our prayer this morning. We will come back with the reading of the scripture and then our song by Brother Al, song of praise this morning. And then we will come back with our lesson on today, August the 25th, Sunday, August the 25th. The lesson background scripture comes out of Titus Yes, Titus. We were in there last week. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 11 this morning. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 11, as we continue this walk in the Word that speaks again to us this morning about how to pursue the life of godliness, pursuing that life of godliness. And our opening scripture this morning comes from Ephesians. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, just the ministry that I received early this morning, it took me to this chapter. I want to thank you, Pastor Kuiper, for taking us early this morning to this scripture. Coming from Ephesians chapter 6 for our opening scripture this morning, beginning with verse number 10. I pray it ministers to you on today. Verse number 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, you are all enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Notice what it tells us in verse 13. If you can hear me clearly this morning, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. And let me encourage the disciples of Christ this morning, keep it on, keep it on. Put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, notice this, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up. Notice what it tells you to do. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lastly, look at verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I've read our opening scripture this morning coming from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 10 through verse number 18. I encourage each of us as disciples this morning, let us be strong in the Lord and in his, not your power, but in his mighty power. Pastor Kuiper, if you would come with our prayer this morning, and then we'll come back with the reading of the scripture.
Oh, gracious God, our Father, we stand in your presence today. Some of us are sitting in your presence today, but we have come today on this line to hear from you, Lord. We invoke your presence into this line today, that your Spirit will rule and reign in our minds and hearts and spirits today. Father, we give glory to your name as we look to you. We look to those hills, knowing that our help comes from you, God. You are a mighty God. You are a glorious God. You are a righteous God. You are a just God. And you are our rock, our salvation. So, Father, we glorify in you today. We lift your name up today, for there's victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our salvation. Father, we stand on the promises of God. We stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, for all other ground is sinking sand. Father, we confess that we may have fallen short of your glory, for all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. But, Father, we stand in the righteousness of Christ, knowing that we've been declared righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that this morning. Father, we thank you for what is about to occur on this land. We thank you for what already has occurred on this land. Father, for we started praying and invoking your presence. We stand with a voice of victory. We stand with a voice of triumph, Father, knowing that you're able to keep us and do everything but fail us. So, Father, we put our trust in you eternally, Father, knowing that you are our God. Father, we love you, Father, as we confess, and we know we fall short, as we said, but we stand in victory. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do on this line today. We thank you for all the saints that have tuned into this line. For as more of us have tuned in to hear what you have to say to us from Titus, we want to hear the word of God today. We thank you for those who will come and share in song and praise, Father. We thank you for those who will come and share in reading of scripture passages, Father. We thank you, Father, for the word that's going to be taught to us today. Let our minds and hearts be open, Father, that we receive for what you have for us today. For you be glorifying what your word says to us. We know that your word is true. We know that your word is powerful. And, Father, we are standing, receiving, and in the need of hearing what you have to say. But, Father, we also stand in the need of prayer. Let us continue to have a mind of prayer as we stand today, fully clothed in our hearts and minds with the armor of God. You heard the armor, Father, as it was read to us from the scripture. But we want to have that truth, that righteousness, that peace. Oh, hallelujah. We want to have that faith. We believe, Father, for we are saved. And, Father, we walk with the peace, in the peace of God, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, and we glorify what we're going to hear today, what we're going to experience today. Let your spirit reign in this place today. Let us all be touched by the power of God today, through the word of God and through what we do today. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise, and I pray this prayer for all the saints on the line as I intercede on our behalf, Father. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for being in our presence today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Kuiper, for reading our scripture in our hearing this morning. I'm going to go over to the passage of scripture, our background scripture on today that we will be walking through, Titus, again, chapter 3. And I'm going to start with verse number 1. If we remember, last week we were in the book of Titus as Paul writes this letter to this young preacher. It is a pastoral epistle, but it speaks to us as disciples of Christ as to how to walk in godliness, how to walk in holiness, how to walk in righteousness. So we want to begin reading our scripture again from Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, verses 1 through 11. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation this morning, I think it brings a bit of clarity, just as last week we read from the Passion Translation. And the reason why we use various translations is to help us better understand, break the word down so that we can chew on those nuggets that God has given to us as disciples. For if you don't understand something, you don't know how to ingest it, how to saturate it, how it becomes a part of your life. By reading from other translations, even the Amplified, the Message, the Voice, other translations, breaks it down so we can understand it as disciples of Christ. So again, we're in Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Want to thank all of you. We heard the deans coming in this morning. Thank all of you for being with us in our Sunday morning walk in the Word. Let us begin reading this morning from Titus again, chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, "Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone." Verse 3, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. Oh, that's what Paul says. This is what our life was before Christ Jesus. But notice what he says in verse number 4, B-U-T, but when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, the unmerited favor, the unconditional favor that we receive, he made us right in his sight, and he gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Oh, Paul is talking to us this morning. Verse number 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Notice what he says. He says, do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. Verse 10, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. Verse number 11, you all. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. I read this morning our foundational scripture today from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Amen. Now we are going to go over to our song of praise and worship this morning, coming from Brother Al. And after that, we'll be back as we look at Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, a continuous from last Sunday, pursuing this life of holiness, this life of godliness, this life of righteousness, and what we are told as disciples to do, but what we are told also not to do. Brother Al, come on this morning.
Amen. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some others to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. You just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Some evil companion, bad language devout, God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and honest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Oh, you just ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To him that o'ercometh, God giveth the crown. Through faith we will conquer thousand others cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Oh, you just ask him, Savior, to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. Oh, Jesus will carry you through. Oh, the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. Jesus will carry you through.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Brother Al, for that song of praise this morning. Certainly, it encourages us as disciples of Christ again that we have the victory, that we are triumphant, and knowing that he will carry us through. Oh, we have to let that resonate with us, soak in our minds in the midst of whatever you're facing, in the midst of whatever you are in the midst of. Know this, God will carry you through. But we have to walk in obedience. We have to walk in the Spirit, and we have to walk trusting God. And you know what? There are times, Pastor Kuiper, that we need others to come alongside us, others to intercede on our behalf. And he, Holy Spirit, lets us know that even in the midst of our weaknesses, when we don't even know what to pray, he prays through us. Isn't that an awesome opportunity for Holy Spirit to come alive in our lives, is that he prays for us in the midst of our weakness. So this morning, again, we want to greet each of you for joining us here in our Sunday morning walk in the Word. I'm excited about today's walk in the Word. I'm excited about the Word. And when I say excited, I want to share what that means to me. It is not that it's always a word that says you're doing good, but also a word that also encourages me to look in the mirror and say there's something in my life that I need to work on. That's when we really need to give a hand clap of praise, because it comes to light. Holy Spirit brings it to our light that we can see it in the mirror, Brother Al, that says to us, that's an area of your life you need to work on. And know this, you're not doing it by yourself. Our Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you doing the work. So I'm so glad this morning that this word today is going to bring to us more insights, more enlightenment, but it's going to encourage me as a disciple of Christ, Pastor Kuiper, to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. But it also encourages me to continue to wash myself in the word, continue to bathe myself in the word, and most of all, allow the word to change my speech and allow the word to change my conduct. I thank you again, God, for your word. This morning, we've asked one of our sisters to come and share with us the word of God this morning. She is a disciple of Christ Jesus, has made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration, and that she knows that she is connected to the true vine. I thank my sister in that she will plant seeds today in our lives to encourage us to be the disciples. We are called to be the Holy Ghost, be your Holy Spirit, righteousness of God on today. And I have asked Minister Alicia to come. Minister Alicia, we're not going to continue any longer. We got our Bibles, we got our pen, we got our paper. We are praying for you and have been praying for you as you take us deeper, allowing us to dig deeper into this word from Titus chapter 3. Verses 1 through 11. Take us to any scripture you desire to support this lesson on today, because it's going to make us stronger to be what God has called us to be on this assignment on the battlefield for the Lord. Good morning, Minister Alicia.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning, Minister Singleton, and to the brethren on the line today. Good morning. Good morning. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God. I come before you this morning with a humble heart and a submissive spirit, Lord God, praying that something be said through your word today, Lord God, that will encourage the disciples. But not only that, there may be someone that want to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And Father God, and I pray that the answer will be given on today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. All right, so as my sister had mentioned earlier, the lesson is coming from Titus, the third chapter, verses 3 through 11, which will be incorporated in my teaching for today, but with a different twist. So I am still following the SOAP method, and in observation, an overview, I saw that the Epistle of Titus was penned by the Apostle Paul somewhere around A.D. 64. This was about the same time Paul penned the book of 1 Timothy. Apostle Paul's primary audience was Titus, a young man who was a Greek, who had probably converted to Christianity through Paul's ministry, and had become Paul's special representative to the island of Crete. The Epistle of Timothy is also now speaking to the disciples of Jesus today, right now here in 2024. Who was Titus? Titus was a Greek believer. I heard my sister say he was a young preacher. He was taught and nurtured by the Apostle Paul. He stood before the leaders of the church in Jerusalem as a living example of what Christ was doing among the Gentiles. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 13. You can read that information there. Now, the epistles of Titus. So we got three chapters in the book of Titus. It's a short book, but it is made known that Titus, the book of Titus, and the first and second book of Timothy are similar in sense of their style and the content. They both were close companions of Paul. He trusted them both, talking about Titus and Timothy. They were close, trusted friends of his. Titus later became Paul's special ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 15 through 16. And eventually the overseer of the churches of the island of Crete. Paul developed Titus into a mature Christian and a responsible leader. He gave them, gave Titus the instructions on how to develop believers and disciples into leadership positions and how they should conduct business. This can be found in the letters to Timothy as well. And you can read that again in 1 and 2 Timothy. The Epistle of Titus is short, like I said before, having three chapters. However, it's powerful, power-packed. It is an important link in the discipleship process, helping disciples grow into leadership in the Little C Church. Disciples, when you and I read this letter, we too will see how to be responsible Christian leaders and teachers of the faith, teaching others about the fact Jesus is the Messiah and salvation only comes through him, as well as this known fact coming from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, which reads in this way, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Grace, God's unmerited favor that cannot be bought. You don't earn this grace, but it's obtained through faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 1. So being a disciple of Jesus, those of us who have made the Romans 10, 9 through 10 true confession and are connected to the true vine, which is Jesus, John chapter 15, we have been mandated as a part of our service to spread the good news of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, letting others know that no one can be saved by living a good life. We are saved. We are saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith, and is not by nothing you and I did. Reminding them that God the Father loved us, you and I, so much that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. How Jesus came to set the, this is what else we can remind each of us and others. The fact that Jesus came to set the captive free, those bound by guilt and shame, as well as give sight to the blind, spiritually blind, that is, also give sight to physically blind, but mainly to the spiritual blind, to blind to the knowledge of knowing who he is, who Jesus is, his morals and his principles. And we can read this in John, the 9th chapter, verse 39. This is now part of our service as a disciple, enabled by he, Holy Spirit. Keep it in mind that he, Holy Spirit, gives you and I power, power over guilt and shame of who we once were, or shall I say who I once was, but to go therefore, go ye therefore, spreading the good news. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then our mandate, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Amen. So in my application, I started out by taking a look first at the word regeneration. regeneration in a biblical sense is a spiritual birth, making one spiritually alive and a new creation in Christ. Paul starts out in our lesson today with a heavy, hard-hitting scripture telling you and I, well, telling me how I used to be. Verse number 3 from Titus chapter 3 reads in this way. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Here Paul is reflecting on my sinful past. Like I said, I can't speak for you, but perhaps you may see how you were listed in this verse that I just read, how you once lived before you came into the knowledge and salvation. I know I can see the old Alicia here. And the reason why I can say the old Alicia is because now this is who I am as well as you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 tells me, and it reads in this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And in my Bible, I got an exclamation point after the word here, right now. The new is here, with emphasis. I'm no longer enslaved to my old ways of living and thinking. You and I can walk victoriously knowing that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are overcomers and live a victorious life. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. So you and I who have made the true confession of Romans 10, 9 through 10, have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has removed the penalty and guilt of sin, my missing the mark that is aiming towards God. Jesus paying the ultimate price for our sins that he did not owe, and I could not pay. So I thank God for, again, sending his son, Jesus, to the earth. Ezekiel alluded to this fact about regeneration in chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord says. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, capital S, in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law. I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean. Jesus being concealed, and now that you are a disciple of Jesus, he has been revealed. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb and the Word. Immersing yourselves daily in his Word, transforming our minds, most of all presenting our bodies now a living sacrifice. Having given up that old way of living and thinking, I am now giving my all by way of living out the word of God, which is designed for you and I to live a submissive and obedient life. Read that over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Living a sanctified life. Sanctified. Not one where I got to wear a long dress and don't put on no jewelry or no lipstick and I'm rolling around on the floor. Don't touch this or don't eat that. but that of one that enables me to realize God's will in my lives, in our lives, a life where you and I separate ourselves from the way of the world, how the world thinks, one where you and I live a holy and spirit-filled life. This type of lifestyle helps you and I, believers, disciples of Jesus, grow closer to God, aligning ourselves more closely with the will of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6, in the New Living Translation, lets us know like this: seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Sanctification. Sanctification. Living a sanctified life fosters spiritual maturity, helping you and I develop virtues like patience, kindness, and contentment. Galatians chapter 5, I'm coming from the word this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 reads in this way: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things! Exclamation point again. Virtue/fruit that you and I now possess, being a disciple of Jesus. Now, this may not happen right away, but as long as we become more mature disciples, it will be manifested as long as we stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ, our life source. Living a sanctified life empowers you and I for service. Sanctification, set apart from the world and the cares of life, it equips you and I to serve others more effectively, showing agape love, God's love, which is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional, that seeks the highest good of the other person, esteeming others more higher than ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. Sanctification again enables you and I, disciples, to go use our gifts and talents for the benefit of the community, using that which was given to us by He, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You can read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now let us keep in mind that each gift that you have and is manifestation of the Spirit, it's also given for the common good, helping others. You know, sometimes you might have to make a sacrifice and do some things that you may not want to do, like go clean up Mother Jacobson's house, or help Mother Jacobson out of the bed, or clean her, or do things that you may not want to do. The common good, the word there is common. Overall, now that I am a new creation in Christ, it is our mission to bring others into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ really is. Most of all, love God the Father with all our heart and soul and mind, because the only way we can get to him is through his son Jesus, teaching people about Jesus' character, teaching people about the principles and how Jesus walked through the earth, how he taught us how to pray, how he taught us how to live, how he taught us how to serve others, how he taught us to make more disciples. So making disciples, it is a primary mission to know more and more about God the Father, know the love that he has for us, believing by faith and I told you what faith was earlier, that Jesus came that you and I may have eternal life, not just here on earth, but an everlasting life, one that will never end. Disciples, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for making me in your image, the spiritual image of you, the spiritual image of your Son, and he, Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray that those of us who are disciples of your Son Jesus, will continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of you, Father God, in Christ Jesus. That prize being and living a life eternal, both here on earth, but most of all in heaven. Not forgetting to seek you and your kingdom, staying in alignment with your word and allowing your will to be done in my life and in the lives of others. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We want to thank Minister Braxton for bringing us such a solid word-based message on today from Titus chapter 3. Amen. What such a like I say, word-based, power-packed word today. I'm going to go ahead and make comments early on, and then I know that there are others that are gathering your notes that you took from this session on today. Minister Braxton, I thank you for reminding me as a disciple, as an ambassador of Christ, of my new creation, that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And thank you for that scripture reference from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I want to also thank you for reminding me that the sanctified life is what happens on the inside that comes to the outside. There has to be a change in our minds, a change in our hearts, which is an alignment to the word of God. I'm empowered to serve as a disciple, Sister Jan, Sister Gloria. We are empowered, for we have He, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. Now, I was in concentration the other day, and the Holy Spirit reminded me and said, Deborah, it's like having power in your house. You can have power, but if you never turn on the switch, it's no good. If you never turn the switch on for the lights to come on, or for the stove to come on, or for the refrigerator to be used, you got something that's sitting there dormant. But when you turn on the switch, when you turn the knob to turn on the stove, you are operating with the electric stove or the refrigerator, then you are putting it into use. Yes, Uncle John, sometimes we have the gifts that are left under the tree unopened, and I don't want to have gifts that He, Holy Spirit, gives to be left unopened. I want to thank you for telling me, too, that I must foster spiritual maturity. And the only way to foster spiritual maturity is to dig into this word, not only get it for information, but transformation, that it transforms me, but also that I be a fruit bearer, that I go out and share it with others so that they can make a proclamation of Romans 10, 9, and 10. The other thing that I captured was the role of mature believers. We, you all, are called to be in the development process. We are called to be developers. We are called to encourage others, but we are also to be Pauls as well. There are Pauls that still walk this earth. We are in a role of mentorship. We are in a role of helping others to mature as believers in Christ Jesus. So I take that role on, and I take it with great responsibility and humility. And my last comment deals with, as you walk through the scripture this morning, when I went back to look at Titus chapter 3, and I look at verse, you all, number 4, and I begin to look at that passage of scripture, verses 4 through 7, when it uses the word but. Paul talks about our state that we were in prior to receiving Christ. We were all there. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just Minister Bratcher. We were all there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we were all in this particular condition. We were all foolish. We were all disobedient. We were all being misled by our lusts or by our pleasures or our passions. We were all separated because of what happened in the Garden of Eden when man and woman decided to do what God told them not to do. So it put us all in that particular state. But when I see that word, but, Pastor Kuiper, Minister Braxton, you walked us through it. When I see that word, but, when God, our Savior, revealed to us his kindness and his love. Notice what he did. He saved us. Notice the benefits that we receive here. The benefits. He saved us, not because of my goodness, not because I deserved it, but he saved us because of his mercy. Notice this, I deserved to die, separated from God. But notice what he extended his mercy, giving me, and his grace, me receiving that which I don't deserve and keeping back that which I did deserve. I deserve this, but because of his mercy, notice what else he did, Brother Al. Not only did he save us, but notice what he did. He washed us. He washed away our sins. And then not only that, the third thing benefit I got right there was not only did he save me in verse 5, not only did he wash me away my sins in verse 5, but notice what else he did in verse 5. He gave me a new birth. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter back into his mother's womb to be born a second time? But Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again with the water and the Holy. You got to be baptized in the Word and in the Holy Spirit. And a confession has to be made. But notice this. He saved us, verse 5. Verse 5, he gave us a new birth. Verse 5 again, he gave us new life through what? The Holy Spirit. Minister, you've been studying about he, Holy Spirit, operating in my life, operating in the lives of other believers, transforming us into the image of Christ. That's how you handle the situation, Sister Ruby. That's how you handle it, Pastor Kuiper, even in the midst of everybody else looking to see if you're going to handle it the way the world handles it. But no, I'm handling this situation because I got a new birth. I'm not the old Deborah. I got a new birth. I got a new life through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6, Minister. Generously has been poured out the Spirit upon us, and he's made us right, and we have eternal life. I'm thanking God for verses 4 through 7 this morning, you all. 4 through 7, knowing the benefits, knowing what I receive when I move from that life of darkness to the new life of light. Walking in new light, walking in righteousness, walking in holiness, and walking in godliness. Thank you again, Minister, for sharing this word with us on today, on what I receive through this new birth, through being born again, through the washing of regeneration. Thank you again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning, Mother Carter. Come on here.
Praising God for the word this morning. Thanking Minister Alicia for standing on the word, that she stood on the word this morning. Thank God for what I'm taking away from this morning is, before I get too uppity-buppity or high up, that I have to realize it's only by God's mercy that I'm not still where I was.
Come on, Mercore.
Because it's not nothing good that I've done to get me out of that. It is the grace and mercy of God that allowed me to be able to hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and receive the word of God. And that's what I have to walk on now, is that someone put it out, the word of God, so that I could become clean and become a disciple of God. Thank you for your words of encouragement this morning.
Amen, Mother Worms.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you all for this morning. Thank you, Minister Braxton, for that word. And I really appreciate how you went through certain scriptures to remind us from the Old Testament to the New, how God was cleansing us and working in us. You went all the way back to Ezekiel. Blessed me tremendously when you read that text, the water. Thank you so much for this word. And thank you. My takeaway, I heard Mother Cora and Dr. Deb. Part of my taking away from this is just knowing that where I was before Christ, oh wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body that could die? And just hearing your encouraging words today just bless me, to let me know that on this journey we still have work to do. And you even talked about our responsibilities to spread this gospel, but also to realize that we just stay humble before God. And so as I heard you ministering, I just want to say to you, when you were saying, it kind of took me a little bit because you were saying, you only speak for yourself, you know. But believe me, when you were speaking to all of us. We all have fallen short of God's glory. So I thank you for the encouragement in this lesson and just that word of God. It's just been a blessing. So thank you so much. Continue to God what God has for you as you minister the word of God, and let the Lord use it in the Holy Spirit, because you touched some things today. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about it, but I'm telling you, I thank God for this word and the text of scriptures that you use to minister the word today. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Carter.
Good morning. Are there any others this morning that heard the word and heard it so clearly coming from our presenter on today, Minister Braxton? Any others this morning? If it's just a word that may have captured you that you caught this morning. Amen. Amen. Minister Braxton, one other thing I want to mention as you were sharing is that, and Pastor Kuiper said, and I just got to amen it again as you were sharing, is that we are called to do good. We are called, in verse number 8, it says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. And that's a high call, and that's supernatural for us. There are some things that are just natural for us to do for one another. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that is supernatural, because we cannot do that in our own. And this passage speaks to this for us as we pursue this lifestyle of godliness. But I do have to ask a question this morning. When we look at verse number 9, why do you believe or think, or the reason behind Paul telling Titus, as well as he tells Timothy, why does he tell him not to get involved in foolish discussions?
Amen. Is that an open question? You talk to Minister Braxton.
I'm going to open it up to the line. Why do you believe in verse number 9 is, why do you believe that Paul admonishes Titus, do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish law? Why do you think that that was an encouragement to him? Because he does tell us in this passage the things to do and to remind us of the blessings and what we have received and the responsibility that we have. But why does he tell him, do not get involved in foolish discussions?
Amen, amen. I'll just say something real quick and talk about experience. These things distract me from what the real calling and mission that I'm supposed to do. I can get caught up because I'm that kind of person. Dr. Dev, as you know, I get to debating about anything. But if that takes me off my focus, these silly questions and all this stuff about family name, everything that really doesn't truly matter when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, quarreling about stuff, and even we don't even need to argue about the law. None of that stuff. They are not good, and they really don't help in the goal of exhibiting the Spirit of God in Christ. Amen. I hope I can get somebody started on that. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong, but that's how my experience has been. I can get sidetracked sometimes. Amen.
Amen, amen. It is so easy to get caught up in that kind of stuff, and it's so easy to get your mind off Christ and start thinking other ways. And quarreling is never good. Idle gossip is never good because you're so easy. You know, the old people used to say birds of a feather flock together. And when you hang around somebody doing something that you know is not right, you tend up doing it a little bit yourself, even in words that we know are not godly. When you hang around somebody using those kind of words all the time, you tend to do it. So know this is not how you're supposed to live. So you have to try to take yourself away from it, stay away from it as much as you possibly can. When you walk up on it or somebody bring it to you, just tell them to pray. You know, pray and ask God what would he have you to do. Sometimes, like I say, it's just so easy to get caught up in it. But for me, I have to say, let's pray. I've been taught to pray about everything. Ask God for guidance. And that way I don't get caught up in a lot of things. But it's so easy to search stuff, anything. It's just so easy to get caught up in it. That's my opinion.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Any others?
Yes, ma'am. I was just sitting here thinking that based on this scripture right here, I'm to avoid those type of foolish controversies and different, you know, how some people want to get caught up about Sabbath day and different things like that and talk about the law. Well, now that I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that's what my conversation should be about, not about this unnecessary stuff about the law, because the law is no longer in fruition right now. It's all
amen.
About
salvation.
Amen. Amen.
I said, what I'm taking away is that it's sinful to get into conversations like that with people because they are sinful. Their minds are not centered on anything but sinfulness, and they want to get you, take your mind thought away from what you believe and come to them. It's just another form of deceiving people. To me, that it's the part of the enemy using another strategy to get you into these conversations. And once you get in there, then you start thinking. Sometimes you think about what they're saying. So it's just another way of distraction to me. So
amen.
If you stay away from them, then you won't have to worry about it. You don't get into it. You cut them off at the root. When they come up, start talking that stuff, you cut them right off. You don't get in. To me, you don't give them an opportunity to put that idea in your head and have you looking at what they're saying and listening to what they're saying. No, that's for me in my house.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That made me want to say something. I tried that. Because I can't remember when I was in church and even before I became a minister. But particularly after becoming a minister, you know, people didn't bring stuff to me. You know, a trash can, I won't be no trash can.
Right.
No trash over here to me. And I'd try to avoid stuff like this. Sometimes I was the last one to find out what was going on in the church. don't bring it to me. But, you know, but I understand how people do, and sometimes it happens. But I just was one that, you know, I didn't want to hear that. So I know we took it, Mr. Brackenfield, your comment, I know we're taking a little bit beyond the text in terms of the law, but it does have a wide range, even when we're dealing with other things in the church. Because most of the time we're not arguing about the law of God as much as we argue about stuff that other stuff that don't mean a lot. And so thank
it don't
you
mean,
much
it
for that.
It has no meaning.
It has no meaning.
That's the main
thing.
It has
being
no
simple.
Meaning. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Just nothing but a distraction.
It's like sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And see,
amen.
We have to be aware of these things. That's why God told us to be aware. The word said be aware of your surroundings.
Amen.
So see, that
amen.
To me, that's what he's saying. Be aware. You know, what are you here for? You find people coming out of the woodwork. And
amen.
No better.
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
No,
I don't know what else is coming up next. But you know the old saying, if a dog will bring a bone, he'll carry a bone.
Amen.
All right, amen. Man. I'm going to stop. I'm done. Yeah, go ahead, sis.
Amen. Like the snake that bit the person after he saved him. What do you say? You knew I was a snake when you saved me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to throw out another word, another D word. And Mother Corey, you talked about the deception, but also a word, a D word is division.
Amen.
And Pastor Kuiper, all of our comments was right on and in line with Scripture. If I can bring division amongst the community of believers, if I can introduce deception amongst the community of believers, then I can disrupt the carrying out of the mandate of Matthew 28:19-20. That's why Paul tells Titus, and Mr. Braxton, you were bringing out, we must avoid foolish controversies. Because what was happening, again, there was seeds of division being planted by those that were considered Judaizers, those that did not want to see the progression of the ministry going forward. So what did they do? They start planting these seeds. They start arguing over foolish stuff, over genius, arguing over who was who. You know, I'm a part of Abraham. I'm a part of this. And when you begin to get divided, and I'm going to tell you, this goes for your home as well. It goes for your home as well, husbands and wives. Children in the household, if you allow, because he calls it what? He says foolish. He says avoid
foolish controversy, because Paul knew if you allow this ungodly behavior, if you allow behavior that is not profitable, if you allow a behavior that has no value, it has no value to human salvation as it pertains to the work of Christ Jesus. I'm arguing over this thing. I'm arguing over whether the table ought to be put here. I'm arguing over whether or not the rug needs to be this color or the choir robe needs to be this color. I'm arguing over who my grandparents were. They bought a seat over there next to the window. They bought a window in the church. They bought a brick to the church. We can, Sister Ruby, you're right. We can get so caught up into foolish controversies. And I'm going to tell you, we have bits of different religions being brought in. And you're right, Mother Corey, you listen to enough of this. And then many times you begin to question, knowing that you've had solid biblical teaching built upon biblical principles, built upon the truth, built upon the promises of God, and you know that you're saved. Paul said, let me warn you now, Titus, you are a leader. You have appointed leaders there in that church. But you got some folks that want to bring division. You got some folks that want to plant some seeds of deception. And you got some folks that wants to disrupt the continuance of the word of God. So he warns, and this warning is for 2024 too. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful to the division, that the seeds of division, the separate. Paul said, you got to watch it. They're going to be quarreling. They're going to be saying this scripture. They're pulling little pieces of scripture out, Mother Cora, to be able to support their case. Be careful. We got to be careful in 2024. Because little bits of scripture, little bits of this, a little bit of this and that can bring, it has nothing to do. Be careful, because it brings no value for salvation in the light of the work of Christ Jesus. So I just wanted to that hopped out at me looking at verse number 9. Why does he tell us to avoid this? And we too got to avoid it, because it is not profitable. It is not useful, because it does not help us in carrying out the mandate of Matthew 28:19-20. You're right, Pastor Kuiper. We'll be like a dog turning around trying to bite his tail, going round and round in circles and not carrying out what God has called us to do. I don't have time. You don't have time. We got to be about what God says do. So to me, this is an encouragement this morning. Encouragement to us as church leaders, the importance of sound biblical doctrine that's going to help us to grow, Sister Jan, but it's going to help purify us and keep us on what is most important. Don't major on the minor. Keep your eyes on the major, which is carrying out the mandate God has told us to do, and doing it based on 1 Corinthians 13, staying connected to the true vine and connected to Colossians 3:16, where it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Amen. But thank you all this morning. You helped me out. Thank you.
And you know, too, Minister Singer, to people like that, they'll come one time or two times and make those statements, and you don't see them no more. They disappear.
Amen.
Go to the next house, trying to make that division.
Amen. 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 We got
the starters. They starters of confusion.
Yes, there you go. There you go, Mother Cora. But we got to be filled, you all. That's why we have He, Holy Spirit, living on the inside of us. He, Holy Spirit, we have to allow the Spirit to shape our habits and our mindset so that we're ready and eager to do what is good. But you got to be careful who you listen to now. Be careful. Be
Folgende, der wöchentliche Schier von einem Aspia, aber Zadig, der Meire, zum Rosenbaumschlitte, bald der Gemeine, wir können es auch überheben bei seiner Abteilung Nummer 467.
The glory of God, the glory of God shines on us.
Time for one more word from his servant, folks, but shall it come?
Amen. Amen. Uncle John, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, church. Good morning. What a wonderful morning.
Amen.
Let me let a surprise guest holler at you before I get started.
Good morning. How is everybody doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This is
morning.
This is Miss Story. I'm just calling to thank y'all for being so kind, so understanding, all the beautiful cards and what you all have sent me. I really thank God, and I thank you for your prayers, each and every one of you. And it has been so uplifting, and I just want you all to know, by the grace of God, I'm coming back this way now. I just need you to keep me in your prayers, and I just want to thank it. I can't thank y'all enough. I want to thank each and every one of you all.
Amen.
Well, we love you, Aunt Laura. We love you. We love you. Amen.
I thank y'all for all everything y'all done. So many beautiful calls. I got my table lined up, and I just want to thank y'all for y'all prayers, the prayers of a righteous availeth much, and I just thank each and every one of you all. And remember, I love y'all too. I'm keeping y'all in my prayers, and y'all keep me in y'all prayers, okay? Thank you so much, and I love you all.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Amen.
All right, church. All right, church.
Amen.
Ready?
Amen.
Go in the wood. Well, thank you, Mr. Braxton. Verse 3, you said choose love over hate. Minister Brackett, choose love over hate. The hateful and hating one another. That's a strong word in that verse 3, hating one another. Mm. How often do we see that each day? That seems like we just hate each other. But we just hate each other. Why? I don't know. Choose love over hate. Minister Brax, we want to thank you for our devotion this morning. Our scripture, Minister Delby, she read from Ephesians 6, verses 10. Our morning prayer, Pastor Kuiper, thank you. That's morning scripture, Minister Deborah. Word for the day. Songs and praise, Brother Al. Yield not unto temptation. This has been a wonderful morning. Been a wonderful morning for me because it's about the first morning my wife got up and said she wasn't feeling no pain. It has been a wonderful morning.
Hallelujah.
For me, starting out the day. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contention and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. We want to talk this morning the naysayer Christian. The naysayer. One who will just about say nay to everything which is good. Paul is writing to Titus to inform him on how to run the church and how to do the work of the church. My question this morning, what type of work do you do for the church? I must remind us, as we have taken on Christ, there's something we all have to do. Jesus said, love thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself. And after this, good work shall follow. The more I love God, the more I should love my neighbor. Because God is love. And he is teaching me how to love my neighbor. But I must remind you, some of our neighbors, we must learn how to love. Some of our neighbors will reject our love. But don't let that stop you. Just keep on loving with the love of Jesus Christ. But don't be a naysayer to something that is good. Eschew the evil and cleave to that which is good. But Paul told Titus, we all have been some naysayers because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But Paul said, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contention and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Stay focused on God's word. And if you want to be a naysayer, don't get caught up in some of the things of this mean world. Be caught up in God's word. Don't let distraction lead you the wrong way. Be attracted to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, my brothers and sisters, if you want to be a naysayer Christian, you got to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey.
Uncle John, thank you so much this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you again. Thank you so much. And it was so good hearing Aunt Laura's voice this morning. Amen. Amen. We are going to prepare ourselves to close out this morning. Sister Ruby, do we have any announcements for today before I ask Minister Braxton to come back and close us out on today? Amen. Any announcements for this evening?
I would just like to invite everybody to come back this afternoon to hear Apostle Atside. I ask that you all keep me in your prayers. And I just love all of you all and thank you all so much. Thank you all for calling in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Ruby, for what you do as well to keep us abreast of what's going on as well as on the line as well as off the line. So we want to thank you. And yes, we will continue to keep you in our prayers on today. Amen. Any other announcements for those that may be on the line today? We do want you to mark your calendars. I know that this is a little bit far out, but if you would please mark your calendars for the fifth Sunday in September. The fifth Sunday in September, we will be doing church downtown Macon. This will be our second, if the Lord allows us to, our second fifth Sunday in the downtown area. So please mark your calendars. Pastor Troy Young and Hope for Today Ministries will be leading that service the fifth Sunday in September. Also, for those that are in Macon and Warner Robins and Byron, we are going to be doing at least two face-to-face Bible study evenings on Tuesday. Those that dial in online, you don't have to worry. You still will be able to be a part of it. But we are going to do two face-to-face. We do. The Lord has opened a door for us for a location for that, and we are just looking so forward to it. So I'm going to tell you, when we get to Romans chapter 12, that will be our first, Sister JJ, our first face-to-face when we get to chapter 12 of Romans chapter 12. So we have about maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks before we get there. But that would be the first session that we will have when we get to that particular chapter. So we're looking so forward to that face-to-face session here in Macon. If there are no other announcements, are there any others? Amen. Minister Braxton, again, thank you so much for bringing our word for today. I know it might be a bit much, but I'm going to ask if you will sing just a little bit of glory, glory, hallelujah, and then close us out with your final comments or your final comments and then close us out with prayer and song. Minister Braxton.
Amen. Well, thank God for being on the line this morning to bring forth God's word. I just thank the Lord for how he put his word in me to bring forth to the disciples of Jesus Christ. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, since I laid my burden down, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down, I feel better. So much better since I laid my burden down. Every round goes higher and higher since I laid my burden down. Every round goes higher and higher since I laid my burden down. Friends, don't treat me like they used to since I laid my burden down. Friends, don't treat me like they used to since I laid my burden down. I'm going home to live with Jesus since I laid my burden down.
long to live with Jesus since I made my furnace song singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, hallelujah. Father God, I thank you again for this day that you have made, allowing us to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, I ask that your word continue to follow us throughout the day, carrying us throughout the day, Lord God, allowing it to resonate in our hearts and spirit. And Father God, I'm thanking you today for the manifestation of your healing through the prophecy of Isaiah 53:5 for my auntie, Lord God, continue to touch her body from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord God, and all of those that are in need of your divine healing. We pray this morning that you continue to allow that healing to manifest in their body, manifest in their lives, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Each of you continue to have a blessed day and walk in the word of our Heavenly Father on today, doing good and carrying out Matthew 28:19-20. Amen.
Love you all.
Love you too, dear.
Love you.
Pastor Kaifa, Uncle John.
Love you, sister. Be blessed and encouraged.
Yes, sir.